This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's being called the Golden Bonanza Sweepstakes. Thanks to our friends at Mako, the DP Show, proud to be a part of this, giving listeners a chance to join us in San Francisco for Super Week. That's right, a trip for two, including round trip, coach airfare, three nights, hotel stay, ground transportation, and VIP access to see us do our show. If that's not enough, Mako also giving away 5 free paint jobs and 10 Mako and DP Show swag bags as runner-up prizes. It's really simple to enter. You go to danpatrick.com. The best news, you can enter daily for a chance to win. You can also receive a 25% off coupon to use at any Mako shop. Visit any Mako location now for a free estimate and redeem the coupon. Terms and conditions apply. Remember, go to danpatrick.com for official rules. No purchase necessary. Void in Alaska, Hawaii, and where prohibited. Open to contiguous U.S. D.C. residents 18 or over. Ends 11/23/25.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
You may have seen the YouTube video or the TikTok video or whatever you want to call it. The video of... this guy, Jesse Butler. He's the teenager in Oklahoma who is a free man, who in early 2025, Stillwater police and Payne County prosecutors filed 11 felony counts tied to two 16-year-old girls. SA by instrumentation, attempted SA, S battery, and multiple counts of assault and battery by strangulation. One victim was choked to unconsciousness. The other needed neck surgery after doctors said a few more seconds she would have died. That was his idea of a romantic night out with the girl that he supposedly was in a relationship with. Investigators say they even recovered partial phone video consistent with a strangulation during one of the assaults because he wanted to record it. Butler was charged as an adult initially, and then the case pivoted in Stillwater because he was 17 at the time that he destroyed these young girls' lives. The defense then pushed for Oklahoma's youthful offender track. It almost sounds youthful. Because this sounds like, oh, this doesn't sound like, until you hear exactly what he did. Does that sound like a youthful offender to you? And guess what? The court in Stillwater granted it. Butler then entered a no contest plea, not a spoken confession, but a plea that the court treats like guilt for sentencing. And the judge suspended a potential decades-long term in favor of 1 year of supervised and rehabilitation under the Office of Juvenile Affairs up to his 19th birthday. If he violates, prison can be imposed, but if he completes it, he walks free. That's the timeline. 11 felonies filed, adult cases, youthful offender reclassification, no contest plea, suspended time. Now the question for us today is, how does the system look at violence that extreme and decide rehabilitation, which doesn't work on sexual offenders, by the way, beats incarceration? And what does it tell us about the culture that protects the right offenders? Retired FBI Special Agent Robin Drake, former head of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, is with us to help us kind of break this this level of insanity down. Robin, let's start by watching the video for everybody in case someone hasn't seen it. This is him being arrested on his porch and his mother coddling him, which I'm sure she's coddled his whole life, which is part of the reason why he is the monster that he's turned into today. Let's take a look at this. This is what's gotten everyone so
you're
incensed.
What? Well, okay, it's fine. It's not locked or anything. It's good. Okay, so can you tell him what you just told me? Or
yeah, so we're here. We're obviously going to place you under arrest. There's a warrant for your arrest. We're going to take you to the jail. I told your mom that she can contact a bondsman, and you shouldn't be very long, but there just is a process for paperwork and stuff. But right now, you do have to come with us, and I do have to put you in handcuffs, so turn around for me.
You have to put me in handcuffs? You know, so
yeah,
I'll get you out for me. All right, stay silent. Rick knows about this. Candy's on this. Dad's on his way. We're coming to get you. Okay, stay strong. Okay, say your prayers.
Okay, so we will. He's gonna go right to the city stillwater jail, and if you'll just contact her, then she does this all the time. She knows what to do.
Yep.
Okay.
She knows Stillwater Police Department, not County.
Yeah, Water Police Department. Yeah,
we're the
on
Lewis.
Yeah.
Let her know that we're the ones that picked him up.
And let me say we are
Stillwater PD.
Stillwater PD.
Yeah.
Okay.
That way they don't think you went straight over and told her to tell me.
Awfully experienced.
Hi. Can you spread your feet for me?
Nothing on my side.
Let's just see ya.
So that's the video that kicked it all off, that really incensed everyone. Now that they're seeing the coddling, the do we need the cuffs? And we know the reality of what he has been charged with and what he pled to and what he basically got away with. What the hell did we just watch happen there?
Well, we just watched him taking a few minutes to come out because the mother had to take the friggin' bubble wrap off of him as he walked out the door.
Oh,
we're watching what I call the affluent bubble of invincibility. I just covered another case very similar to this with this nepo kid kind of thing that's going on, the nepotism that you, and these aren't helicopter parents. These are snowplow parents that have wrapped their kids in bubble wrap and with zero guardrails, and they just are managing their kids. Like, I mean, didn't he look like a pet? I mean, she's literally treating him like her little dog that's being taken away to the vet.
Yeah.
Because it's that kind of level that she's keeping him at such an infantile level that he's got the accountability of a 5-year-old, you know, for any kind of actions. It just,
that's a good analogy. That's a good analogy, like a pet, because at the same point, she also seems to be treating him with the same sort of regard you would have for your pet when it goes and humps the dog down the way.
Yes.
It's like, stop, just stop. Come on, let's go home. Let's get some food because it's a dog. This is a human being.
Yeah, no.
Her son that went and did this to two other 16-year-old girls, strangled them, almost one to death, and he wanted to videotape it because I'm sure he sounded on the porn tube somewhere. And she had – this is it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, and that's the thing that really – the first question I asked in my mind when I'm watching this is she's got to know what he did because she's being arrested. She's not protesting it. And then I always, as you know, and the audience knows, you know, I do this deep empathy things like put yourself in those shoes so you could actually ascertain best your ability, what your reaction would be in that moment. I'm having to struggle to figure out what my reaction or my wife's reaction would be if one of our kids was walked out of the house like that, to kind of gauge her reaction, because I'm having a hard time understanding, like you said, her affect is so placid. It's not like a big, she's treating it like not a big deal. Are you sure you have to do this? He just got charged with raping and almost killing two girls. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. You know, I mean, so the last thing you'd imagine, okay, so I'd imagine her being a mom and her son's being accused of this. Okay. But there should be, I'm expecting some level of disgust, some level of contempt, some level of shock and awe. I mean, so we're not seeing any emotional affect to her, except they're taking her little pet away. I mean, just isn't that, that was really what was kind of striking me, is her demeanor was just off of what I expect. I don't know what I would expect, but it wasn't that. And that's why I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around it.
I mean, is this something where nobody wants to see the worst in their kids or people in general? And she can't wrap her mind around that this could be true. This yeah. must be false. This must be a lie. This must be a this. And she's just all in for her son and just, you know what, you know, I'm there for you no matter what, because all she's still seeing is that little boy from the baseball field wearing the baseball hat that we saw in that initial picture. And that's how she's seeing her kid, and just can't grasp this reality. I mean,
maybe
that would be a hard reality to grasp, but at the same point, if there's these accusations against your kid, I don't know. It's hard to say what I would be doing in that same situation, but I don't think it would be quite that.
No, so I don't have any data because I've never seen another child arrested like this in this kind of case. And so I don't have a comparison. The only other kind of comparison we can do our thought experiment on is when you see, or a parent or loved one finds out that someone has been accused of committing murder. We've seen that before, or someone has been murdered and you lost someone. The amount of shock and disbelief that enters your mind, because you cannot conceptualize that this person is either gone, they're dead, or they committed this horrendous crime. You mm-hmm. get massive energy of denials. No way, this couldn't be wrong. You got the wrong guy. I mean, you're expecting some massive pushback and some denial, some distancing. You're expecting those kind of emotional reactions in those types of situations. Again, I haven't seen exactly this, so this is my first data. Mm-hmm. This type, but I would expect that kind of viral reaction to something that you didn't believe, because what we're seeing here is someone who's accepting the accusation, because mm-hmm. she seemed to be saying, okay, this is the way it is. You're being arrested for raping these two girls. I mean, so what, see what I mean? Hum da dum ba dum ba dum ba dum ba dum. Instead of what? No way, that's not him. You got the wrong guy. Are you sure? You're being arrested? I mean, so you're not getting the typical pushback I would expect to see. Not saying it's wrong or right. It's not what I expected.
It is. It's an interesting reaction that we're seeing there, because it's not that pushback. You're exactly right. It's not the, this is ridiculous. It's more like, can I put more bubble wrap on you?
Yeah.
How can I make you feel comfortable, you know, in this icky situation that you're going into, and mm-hmm. and say your prayers. Yeah. Say your prayers that you get struck by lightning on the way to prison.
Yeah, unfortunately, I get to rape the girls.
Yeah. But unfortunately, he's not going to prison, because in this small town in Clearwater, Oklahoma, well, you know what? Power is everything in a lot of ways, especially when it comes to sports. Community complicity is a big thing, and we see it in a lot of cases in a lot of small towns. Everyone knows someone. How do you think that social web silently pressured the DAs and the judges in this to find compassion when the defendant came from this family that had some connections? I mean, we know the accusations and what they are, and what he pled. I mean, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. But somehow they decided, let's give him another chance, rather than, you're going away for 70 some years, buddy.
Yeah.
It's why? why? Because they literally are looking the other way in the face of the other two young victims in their community.
There's so many things of this one, Tony. All the research I did, first of all, this is not victim-centered ethics that they're focusing on. They're focusing on perpetrator ethics, you know, how to focus. I mean, look at this. We're not even covering the victims here. This is where the story is the victims. And they're talking about this little baby boy as they're treating him as mm-hmm. he was the victim. He's the one getting the counseling. Did you know, I could not find where there's any court ordered or court authorized or paid for counseling for the girls. Yet he's mm-hmm. getting it, and it's actually secret. They're not even disclosing the kind of counseling he's getting. I mean, so look at all the benefits he's getting for being the convicted sex offender.
Yeah.
And he's getting off with the sentence that could have been up to 80 years or 78. I mean, up to 80 years. And with good behavior, I think it would have gone down to maybe 10. And mm-hmm. so, okay, you don't throw the full book at him. But they went to the bare minimum. And so, Tony, here's the thing that I found the greatest travesty when I'm looking at this greatest. I stand in line for the greatest on this one. There's so many.
Yeah.
The judge followed the law. This is the law. You know, mm-hmm. so when you want to have those outside observers come in and say and go for overturns or appeal or anything – there's nothing to grab onto that's legal that was done wrong. And that's what is we need new processes here because and I'm sorry, I'm on my rant on this one. the oversight of judges in cases like this, because I then dove into the judge, as you know, because you and I are going back and forth on this so much last night because you uncover one rock and you're like, wow, the hole was so deep. Mm-hmm. Now this judge that did the sentencing. First, she has a track record of leniency where mm-hmm. she's been accused of being too lenient in the past for people that were local. And talk about local, you know, a lot of times when we think of judges, at least I do when I served in the FBI in New York City and in Norfolk and the FBI headquarters, you know, Quantico, Virginia, Richmond, you know, these were never my hometowns except where I'm at now in Fredericksburg. And you kind of assume that the judges aren't either. You know, maybe the lawyers are, but judges, no, this judge was a judge here for over 50, well, not a judge, but she was in a lawyer and then eventually judge here for 50 years. This is the school she went to. This is where she's educated. This is where her father was a judge. The police department, I looked this up. The police department is only about 70 or 80 sworn officers. So it's a small police department. It's not, and I think the town, I think, is 50 to 60,000. I mean, I looked up all these numbers to kind of get a sense for what inspired this judge to give the least amount of sentence for such a heinous, horrendous crime. And that's why. And I looked up, there's no studies done that talks about the biases of judges that are local in cases like this. But here's where there is study, there's conjecture on, they say, is that judges typically overestimate their objectivity by roughly 80 to 90% in cases just like this. So she thought she didn't need to recuse herself. Meanwhile, the rest of the world is saying, what the friggin' hell?
It's shocking. And the thing is, she did follow the law, but she had a choice.
Yeah.
And the DA had a choice as well. The DA and the judge didn't have to say, well, let's see what other options we have here. Oh, this youthful offender, he technically qualifies. Yeah, technically. But it doesn't mean you need to apply it here. It's not like he went and stole a M&Ms from the Walmart or something. It's not like this is a light crime or something that is victimless or something of that nature. We're talking about essaying two girls and then strangling them, one nearly to death, requiring surgery. Surgery. It's not even negotiable what took place here. This is not a he said, she said. This is a convicted felon that, well, because he was 17 and the countdown's on, less than 365 days from now, you'll technically be an adult. We're gonna go with this one over here. I do not understand that way of thinking other than, I mean, who's the winner here at the end of the day? Other than the felon, I mean, this is like, it looks horrible on the judge. It looks horrible on the DA. It looks horrible on the family. It looks horrible on every person. The only winner you have here is the rapist.
Yeah.
So why? What is going through someone's mind when you don't have to go down that road? It wasn't like, well, according to this, A, 1 + 2 = 3, and this is the only thing we can charge him with. That's the system. We've seen cases like that where, like, the maximum sentence is X. And you're like, damn, I wish you could do more. And the judge is like, this is the max I can give you. Mm-hmm. This is like, what's the absolute least I can possibly give you for these horrible crimes? It is mind-blowing, and I do not understand where any sort of reason came into play here that this was a good idea. Are they completely clueless to the idea that people outside of Stillwater are going to hear about this and are going to come after them with flames and pitchforks?
I think that's part of the calculus that wasn't part of their calculus is that
Jesus.
You know, she's got reps of doing it this way. So again, looking at behavior patterns, this sentence fits her pattern of behavior and her arc as a judge. It fit right in there. And to your point, that's the least amount she could have done. And you use a phrase I was actually going to say too. This wasn't a case of he said, she said, of a couple 16 and 17 year olds out there doing some stuff they shouldn't have done. And did it really happen or not happen? And he, you know, I've seen this. We've all seen this before.
I get that. This is not
actually
that.
Brutal. Yeah. You know, we actually had someone almost died because of strangulation. That is to me, that's the exasperation of this crime, which should at least have done some time somewhere rather than just this is almost like an acquittal and an apology for arresting you and charging you with this, even though you admitted to doing it, or no contest, whatever they say. This gave me such little faith in that system out there or anywhere that the judges have this kind of leeway for a minimum sentence over something so heinous. And I know it's raw with us and our audience as well, just because we've covered the Epstein case so thoroughly and the impact. And the other thing that really bothered me on this one, Tony, was that the prosecutor said, because they wanted to spare the girls the trauma or they're being re-traumatized by testifying.
How do you let them decide that?
They said they would. They actually said they wanted to, but they said, no, we don't want to re-traumatize you. You know, ask Virginia, you know, Roberts, you know, who did the whole testifying against Epstein. They wanted to. So it's up to, you know, so this is where you're not.
It's not up to the DA to decide that.
Talk to the victims. Talk to the victims. And the victim said, no, we want to, but they said no. Oh, it's crazy.
No, we'd rather protect little Jesse here.
Let me go off the rails.
It is so maddening. It is so utterly maddening because I just feel like that we are in this upside down land where the justice system in so many of these cases, it's just consistently going to the side of predatory behavior of these awful, awful men. Cause he's 17 years old. He knew what the hell he was doing.
Oh yeah.
This is not, This is something once this is his MO. This is how he operates. He will be a rapist forever. He will reoffend. The odds are there without aid. In my opinion, he will reoffend.
Yeah. And I looked at that, you know, because again, I looked at the nooks and crannies and believe so it's not. And this is why I think the judge is able to do what she did. And it's why the sentencing guidelines are what they were. Believe it or not, I pulled it up. The recidivism rate. For someone at that age, at a youthful age like this, with good counseling, it's only I think in the teens.
That's bullshit because there isn't stat like there's not accurate stats on reporting sexual assault.
I know, but that's what they're but that's what they're using.
That's what they're using
to justifying their sentencing. So this is where I had a problem with that as well. So okay, so let's take the stats that they're reporting for recidivism for the reason why they had the sentencing. So if they say at the low end it's 15% to 17%, you know, recidivism rate for this type of crime from this type of individual, if they've gone through counseling, like they said, so that means the judge is saying, hey, he's only got a 17% chance of doing this again. Whose daughter are you going to let subject to that?
Yeah.
It means if it should be.
Hey, Judge, would you like your daughters or grandkids to go on a nice date alone with him? Maybe lock him in a room with him and see what happens.
And so here's recidivism, I would think, would be lower if the perpetrator, and not just the accused assailant, but the actual convicted one who admitted it, no contest, did it, actually felt that, like, hit a rock bottom. Like, this was an aha, wake up, humbling moment. But look at him. This wasn't a humbling moment. This wasn't an aha moment. This was someone who got his bubble wrap got taken off as he walked out the door. They bubble wrapped his cuffs on him. They put him in the car, and then he went back home. That's not a moment that changes someone's behavior.
No, I mean, no, it's not. And it won't change the behavior, because someone who has this in them, someone who's going to do this, it's there. That's how they're programmed. It's going to happen again. And here's a clear example of see something, say something, do something, and where the do something part completely failed. We're talking about the Jesse Butler case out of Oklahoma right now in Stillwater. This is, you've probably seen it, the video of him being arrested on the porch steps of his parents' house, mom coddling him. And as Robin said in our first segment, basically, you know, treating it like the pet is being taken away. We're going to come get you. We're going to come get you, Junior. What in that video that we watched, in the video of them taking the offender away, this mutant of a human being, the fact that it was just the whole attitude, not only of mom, but of him and the officer. Okay, we're gonna do this to you right now. Okay, and then you do this, you call them, and it's the whole culture seems insane. If this was, someone else, if it was someone with a different skin color, maybe in a different city, I don't think it would have been held with such kid gloves. It is utterly shocking to see just how bubble wrapped this whole thing was. Do you think that is a reflection of the greater culture going on here in Stillwater with the police department, with the judge, with the DA, with the pedestal that we put sports figures in? You're playing on this team. You're the person of this. You're doing that. That, this can't possibly be true. So we're really going to hand you with kid gloves because we don't want to believe that this shit is actually going on and that you're capable of it.
See how apologetic they looked for having to arrest him for rape?
Yes.
Looked like everyone so was so apologetic and sad that they had to arrest him for raping two girls. You know, there's another case I covered a couple of days ago, and this guy Dalton Janicek in Pennsylvania who mowed down a couple cops horrendously, and he comes from a privileged background. So there's a lot of words I was actually thinking of when I looked at this case, because there's a lot of similarities in that. And one thing we're seeing here in another just amazing example of, again, impulsivity without consequence. And so recidivism is high when you have no consequences for the heinous crime you did. And so his only consequence is he has to go to secret counseling for a year. Okay, so that's motivation to never do it again, right? But here's the other thing too, is his emotional intelligence, as we cover every single week with every single case, is so low. His knowledge of self, zero. His knowledge of and empathy towards others, zero. Problem solving skills, zero. Emotional regulation, zero. All the factors that go into someone's emotional intelligence, which says how highly functioning they can and can be in society or anything else, is bottomed at zero, if negative. So those five factors are completely devoid in someone like this. And so that's what's ought to be counseled in there. But we're seeing it nowhere. We're seeing it nowhere. My gosh.
Do you think just looking at the cluelessness of him on that video, do you think he even understands that he did anything wrong? I don't know that he does, or the consequences of the actions by any means. And leading up to it, I mean, I guess now he must, because he's being, he was charged and all that. But do you think leading up to this, when he was actually doing these heinous things to these girls, that it ever crossed his mind that this is another human being that I'm doing this to, that there may be consequences to these actions. And if not, why? How did he get that far along in life and that part be completely void of his psyche?
So this is, you know, the great philosopher Goethe once said, you know, you can tell who someone is by who they consort with and how they're, and again, the nature part of growing up or the nurture part of growing up in this is there was no guardrails put on him throughout his life. And when you don't have guardrails, then you don't have to play out the consequences of your actions because, so here you are, you're 3 or 4 or 5 years old. And if you take a cookie from the cookie jar, and you are actually scolded, reprimanded, and punished for taking a cookie without asking permission or breaking a rule or something, you're given a guardrail and you learn, hey, if I do something that's wrong, here's going to be the consequence. And so the next time prior to doing something that you know is a rule or regulation or something you shouldn't be doing at home, your brain starts engaging. What's the consequence for my action? And so the more consequences we have for actions and guardrails and rules and regulations that parents put up, we thrive as a society because there's guardrails. Laws are our guardrails for society, our ethics, our morals, and all that. What we're seeing here play out with kids like this is the fact that there was no guardrails. Because there's when you have a zero ability to contemplate the cause and effect and play forward the result of my actions, it shows that they've never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never done it before, it's not that he's genetically and biologically coded without a knowledge of it. We're not born with that knowledge of it. It's something that's imbued in us through our upbringing. And so I researched this term too. Everyone kept saying this, he comes from a good family. So I said, I plugged into my AI, define good family.
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean? Because good families, nowhere in the definition of good families say they put up guardrails in life about cause and effect of behaviors. No, this is, you're seeing a completely entitled person without guardrails, cause and effect of behaviors that look completely, I mean, you saw he was waiting when he was let out. He was let out. He didn't take charge. He wasn't pushing back. He was just compliant. You know why? He's been shuttled through life in every aspect. You saw him shuttled out the door. His mother shuttled him out. The cop shuttled him to the car. He was complete. He's a big piece of Play-Doh that was being walked out the door and shoved in a car because he had no idea what to do. He had no idea of anything that's going on because this is impulsivity at its max. Mm-hmm. I want to feel sexual satisfaction. I want to feel dominance. I want to have control. So I'm going to do this to a female. Boom. Oh, there's consequences for my action? Oh, there can't be consequences. He's not even thinking that because you know why? He's never had consequences for his actions of doing anything bad in the past.
We talk about that. We talk about the offender and we profile that quite often. But the enablers and the enablers in this situation would likely be the parents and whatever culture he's living around. And obviously, this is all just our conjecture on the case and on our opinion. We don't really talk about the enablers all that much. I mean, what's going on there? Why do so many parents wrap these kids up basically in bubble wrap and not want to prepare them for life? They know life is coming. They know the real world is coming. Why are we seeing so many parents? I mean, it's always been helicopter parents. There's always been parents that are overprotective. But this is like a new level of shielding that I don't think we're very used to seeing in such a common place and in such a common scale without any sort of self-awareness to it. Because I don't know that mom in this looks like she has any clue of just how vile she is coming across to the rest of the world as this is taking place. Or, I mean, I'm sure she wasn't realizing, hey, everyone's going to watch this video. Right. But just even to the other officers, even to anybody around, there just seems to be this utter lack of cluelessness. And maybe that's why they're raising a clueless child, because the parents are just as clueless. I don't know. I mean, does it come down to I just don't want to deal with reality on reality's terms, and I'm just going to try and run out the clock, basically, hope for the best that he sails off into the sunset someday and does his own thing, although this guy's probably going to live in the basement for the rest of his life, considering leaving the house may not be such a great option anymore for him.
Or why would you if your parents make it so comfortable?
Or make it so, exactly. I mean, it's this whole enabling of helplessness and then enabling horrible decisions and never, ever giving consequences out to the people that violate those rules.
I'm going to give this to the kids. I'm going to give it a broad swath on this one, Tony. This is an area I've actually enjoyed talking about for a number of years when I was still teaching in the FBI, and that is generational aspects of this.
Okay.
And so in general, I'm going to give a generational outlook on how each generation sees the world through their optic and lens. And so I won't go all the way back. We'll start with the baby boomers, roughly born 1945 to 65. This group of people saw the world in very different ways from the experience they had growing up. You know, Kennedy assassination, moon landing, Martin Luther King assassination. And this was a generation of problem solvers, but very me-centered focused. And so when they're raising kids like me, I'm a Gen Xer born in 1968, it made us incredibly independent because when we were growing up from my Xer, I'm an Xer, hardcore Gen Xer, we were problem solvers because our parents were never home. They're absent. We were first generation of latchkey kids before the word latchkey kid even came around because we had to go to the workplace for the first time. Growing up in the 70s, the economics are rough. And so we're out there solving problems ourselves at a very, very young age, going to work at a very young age, dealing with adults in adult situations at a very, very young age. We are a generation of hardcore problem solvers. We saw it through an optic and lens of everyone failing around us, the Challenger explosion, the economic times, oil embargoes, just the things we saw growing up was very different than the boomers and then the millennials after the Xers. And so what happened is Xers, and this, I'm guessing this parent is probably on the cusp of being an Xer, probably an older Xer, is we are a generation of micromanaging ourselves because we think everyone else is an idiot. And so when you think everyone else is an idiot, we take control of our own lives and take control of all the lives around us. And what happens is that we did very, very well solving our problems because we think our parents are idiots. We think our kids are idiots. And we're going to solve their problems for them too because they're fools. I'm not saying this is exactly it, but when you're talking broad swaths of how generations see the world, this is exactly what happens. So Gen Xers typically micromanage your own lives because we think the world's an idiot. And because we think everyone around us is an idiot, so we're going to try to micromanage your life as well. When you do that with children without getting them out there, allowing them to get reps in of failure, reps in of something going sideways, reps in of understanding what the guardrails are, this is what you wind up with. You wind up with an unmolded lump of clay because it just hasn't had a chance to form, and forming of us as human beings comes through experiences, comes through curiosity, being satisfied by making mistakes, by cause and effect of behaviors with the relationships, with parents, with everything. And so if someone gets so coddled because, and again, these things are done out of love and caring, not knowing that the effect of coddling someone so much and wrapping them in that bottle wrap to keep them protected because we don't want them to have the same horrendous experiences we did. Yeah, but those horrendous experiences we had growing up forged us into being great problem solvers. You're not going to be a great problem solver unless you actually have reps. And so that's how these things generally happen, is that these kids don't have reps because they're being micromanaged the crap out of until they become adults. And then all of a sudden, everyone expects them to go from 0 to 100. Oh, you're 18 years old now? Go out, start solving problems. And that's why we're seeing so many self-radicalized kids, so many kids going down the dark triad, because they're going from 0 to 100, from zero problem-solving skills to facing life's situations and things. And what do they learn? I'll just go to violence. I'll just go to instant gratification because they don't think it's a consequence for their actions because they've never experienced a consequence in their life yet.
Those formative years, those teen years where you should be learning these sort of things, with some bumpers around, which is good. That's why we have them. That's why, you know, you live at home till you're typically 18 or so. And you can make mistakes to a certain extent, but you're making the mistakes. We're taking the making mistakes part out of the equation. It's just, you exist, do anything you want. And the bumpers are here, but we're never going to tell you when you're hitting them. You're just going to live. And then be off with you, and then we're shocked when they are having the mentality of 12-year-olds when they're 22.
Mommy will solve your problem all the time instead of you.
I mean, it's what it feels like. I know I'm painting with a broad brush here too, but it's what it feels like when I'm talking to a 22-year-old these days. It feels like I'm talking to a 12-year-old in terms of maturity. And I look at like, I was like that at 12, not 20. It's like a whole decade is.
You're already on the radio at that age.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm an odd duck. I have an odd motor, but the thing is, I could say a good chunk of the kids, you know, that I grew up around, they had a very different mentality at 22 than the 22-year-olds of today. And it has a lot to do, obviously, with that parenting and the bubble wrapping of people. I want to talk for another second about the DA and the judge. And in no way am I accusing them of anything. But I'll say this, as I say it a lot, I don't know anyone that is going to protect a predator or a pedophile other than a predator or a pedophile. And I'm not saying that the DA or the judge is that. But I'm saying, what the hell is going on here then? Because why would you want to protect this? Why on earth would you want to protect what you know took place here? Why are you protecting that person? What is going on in your mind that allows you to think, oh, well, here's a loophole. We're going to go with this youthful offender clause. We see it in situations where people are being trafficked and a trafficker is, you know, protecting the other people. I'm not saying that's what's going on here at all, but then what the hell is going on here? Because this just doesn't make any sense. It's not human to want to enable this. It's not human to want to look the other way on something like this. It goes against like all decency that a healthy human being would have. The only things that my mind can go to are that, and again, I'm not saying that they are involved in that in any way, shape, or form, or it's I don't know what. Sometimes people look at things going, well, I went through hell too, you can handle it. Or, well, so-and-so was rehabilitated after they robbed the Dairy Queen. I don't know, but I'm racking my brain and I don't understand why you would enable something like this when you know how dire the consequences are. It's already have two lives that are ruined and they're going to be in therapy and scarred forever and carry this with them. Why are we setting this up for a third and a fourth or however long it takes until someone stops him?
So now it's a little bit easier putting ourselves, I think, in the judge's mind here, in the prosecutor's mind here, because we have an arc of reps. You know, when I looked at the judge's record, the backgrounds, you know, this judge goes on leniency, especially when it comes to youth. And so in the judge's mind, again, pure conjecture, she mm-hmm. was doing the right thing. You know, she's given the young youth a second chance and this is the sentencing guidelines and I'm following the law. And so in her mind, she's doing exactly what she's supposed to be doing from her standpoint. It's hard to imagine what she's thinking about the girls and the victims here, except the prosecutor's telling her, because she's not talking to the victims herself. She's talking to the prosecutor. The prosecutor says, we don't want to re-traumatize the girl. So in the judge's mind, she might be thinking, the girl think it's okay. The parent, you know, the prosecutor says they don't want to press for this. And I have a chance to rehabilitate a young youth and the law says I can. So why don't I go that route? Because I've done it this way before. And then I have 50 years in this town. I know this town, I know this family, or I know families like this because they have this confirmation bias going in their brain. And so in her mind, I guarantee, almost guarantee, she is doing completely the right, righteous things. But what she doesn't have, and this is what the system's failing at here, is a loving critic saying, you're nuts. Because yeah, with that, and that's wrong. What is missing from this is that there's no outside force saying, hey, you need to be a little more objective on this. Here is what's going on. You're blinded by how close you are to this case. And I mean, seriously, think about this. What would have taken for her to recuse herself? Because again, if the same sentence had come down and it had been a judge that had recused herself and it was another judge that came from the outside that did this, it'd be a travesty in our minds, But we'd say, well, at least it wasn't the judge's bias that did that. There's something else might be going on. But you see what I mean? I was just, why didn't she recuse herself?
You know, a lot of times we look at situations and, you know, because we're trying to put ourselves in the other's shoes and we have our own prisms to look through and we have our own situations and we can go, oh, how would I see this? If it were her kids, if it were the DA's kids that Jesse here nearly strangled to death while he was essaying them, do you think they would have made the same choice? Or because it was someone else's kids?
Great question. Great question.
That it, you know. Let's give him another chance. I mean, I'd love to require the DA or the judge to sit down with the victims and explain their reasoning on this, you know, and explain why we think this is a good idea.
You know, going to back to the Adelson case and Donna.
Yeah.
You know, I love what the judge said at the sentencing, and in cases we've seen where the judges have done a good job, and that is. There's the remorse factor. You know, when someone is convicted of a crime and you're doing sentencing, one of the things that the judge takes into account is the remorse that's expressed by the perpetrator. No remorse means higher sentence, means you need a bigger humbling moment here. Have we seen any remorse that the judge got to witness that this was that he's entitled to a lesser sentence because he showed contrition? He showed, I made a mistake. I mean, I haven't seen any of that.
Nothing.
Right. So I don't understand it either, because the judge has a lot of discretion based on that very subjective observation of remorse, of contrition, of, oh my God, I can't believe I did this. You know what I mean? Even if that video of him being arrested had showed something of shame, of embarrassment, of looking like he knew he did wrong, or looking like the mother knew he did wrong. No one looks like they're accepting that they did something wrong. So that's what was really missing from this entire thing. And I think that's what is probably very inflaming to a lot of the people involved here, especially the parents and the girls involved. I mean, you're such a great example of, if this had been their daughters, would they have sentenced the same way?
If this had been my daughter, he'd be dead.
Yeah.
He would be hanging from a tree somewhere in Stillwater.
I was thinking about, you know, that given victims' families' first actions on things first.
He's a pinata now.
Again, going back to the opening statement that I think is really missing here, victim-centered ethics and victim-centered sentencing. I didn't see any of that here at all. And that's I don't know why. I wish I had answers for this one, Tony, but it just, they're following, they're following the law. And that's the problem.
And that's what it comes down to. At the end of the day, the system is working as designed. They are following the law. They did have agency. They could have chosen to give him a stricter. So any judge could be like, case dismissed. But, and then that's not exactly what took place here, but they could have made better choices. This is bad choice on top of bad choice. And I don't know if this is because in so many towns like this, there's this thought process that doesn't like to jive with reality and the rest of the world of, oh, he's just a good boy. He made a mistake. And it's an archaic way of thinking of monsters that do certain things. Yes, there are good boys who do make mistakes. Not this type of mistake. The ones that maybe went and robbed the Dairy Queen because they're poor. The ones that, you know, there are people who make bad choices and can be rehabilitated. This doesn't happen to be one of them.
At any point along the way, did someone say to the girls that listens, do you feel whole? Do you feel this justice? No one does. I mean, no. So it's like they were silent. The victims were silenced during this. Their opinion was silenced. It's befuddling.
I'm really curious as to what life is like I've driven through Stillwater. I've been to Stillwater several times. It's not that far from here. I'd be really curious as to what the atmosphere is like if little Jesse here decides to go walk into Subway and order a footlong. You know, like, are they going to be looking at him like he's a monster? Like, oh my God. Or is this greater expansion of the culture there where it's like, are the girls looked at as the perpetrators here that spoke up? I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I'd be really curious from anyone in Stillwater who's listening to this as to, you see him at the Walmart or wherever. How are you acting? How, like, what is the reaction to someone like that? I'd hope it would be discussed. I'd hope it'd be public shaming. I would be shouting him down. I would make him never once you leave his parents' basement for the rest of his life. Not even to go up and get food. It's where he just kind of gets emaciated and dies down there. That's what my hope and prayer would be for someone like this. But I'm curious. I don't know exactly how that's going to play out.
I'm curious too. You know, matter of fact, it's funny. Not funny, ironic, you know, when we decided to cover this case, I'd actually already seen that video, like I told you, because I'd already seen it come across my feed on TikTok out of nowhere. So I'd already seen it. Not good for the offender in this. He's very recognizable.
He is. I'm thinking they may have to move. I don't know. I mean, I'm so surprised by so many of these cases and the reaction, the public reaction, especially when you get so close to the actual crime, is sometimes very different than the public reaction outside of the ecosystem of the crime. I see it in Wisconsin with the Making a Murderer case. I can't think of his name. Stephen Avery.
Right.
That you leave that ecosystem, there's a very different look on that case. And I don't know. I'm curious. I don't know the answer to that.
And also a thing to consider also for the sentencing that they let him off on. So everyone kept saying he comes from a good family, you know, is kind of shocking. Well, for him to do what he did, there's a lot of darkness in there and there's reps of something that led him down the path to take the action he did that he thought, remember, everyone always acts in what they think is their own best interest. And he thought for some reason this was in his best interest to do.
And we're not accusing the family of anything. They've never been charged with anything by any means. But at the same point, where did this come from? It's a fair question to ask. Why did he think this was a great... And it might be watching online stuff, you know? I mean, that could come from it too. But here's the deal. Maybe this is a good family. I don't know much about them other than I know the dad allegedly worked at OSU and... That's what people say, good family. Who knows what the fuck that means? But, and maybe they are. And maybe you really got a bad apple kid here that is just, you know, a mutant and it's horrible. Also, but if you want to stay a good family, then you better hold Junior accountable. Otherwise, you've just become a pretty shitty family.
Yeah. And using strangulation in these types of cases, it's, you know, talking about that as an actual event, it shows a huge need and desire for control. And so this is a huge control maneuver he did.
Yeah. When you bubble wrap the kid and he doesn't have any control because it's just like we were talking, he's kind of be shuffled around from place to place. People are going to have a desire to have control at some point in their lives. And this is obviously not the way to exercise it, but when you have zero self-control and you have no reps on how to deal with it and you have nobody guiding you in any way, shape, or form, this is quite a primal way to act out.
Primal is a great word for it because this was animalistic.
I'm glad we solved the world's problems again, Robin.
That's what we do here.
God. Jesse Butler. That's what he looks like right there. If you see him around town in Stillwater, tell him hi.
Give him a shout out.
And give him a shout out. Let him know. Let him know you know. I'd say do anything illegal. Just let him know you know.
But what let we him know do you know. The girls. You know, we got to support the victims. You know, they need to be helped. They need to be cared for. They need to be made whole. That's where all the focus on all these things should be, is these victims have been through so much. And as Jenna Guffrey said, you know, Epstein's main taker downer, I'll call it, you know, she said she was unemployable because of who she was, the background she went through, the trauma she went through. She didn't have this chance for justice.
And here's the deal. We were talking about, you know, you see this monster around town at the Costco or whatever. Those girls, those victims, they're now going to be fearful to walk around their own damn town because they're afraid they're going to see that this piece of shit somewhere.
Re-traumatized every time to see them.
Every fucking time. And the DA and the judge and mom and everybody there is saying, well, that doesn't matter. Your trauma doesn't matter. We want to give him a second chance. So don't matter you. Don't matter that you guys are probably going to have to move out of town now just to avoid seeing this blob of shit. But he deserves that second chance.
So he's getting paid for court-ordered
therapy,
and the girls and the families, unless they actually go for restitution in some way, have to pay for it out of their own pocket.
Yeah.
So that's justice.
Good times in Stillwater. Praise Jesus.
Good justice.
Your thoughts in the comment section, wherever you're watching us on YouTube, please do that. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage on this. And we'll keep making sure his name is known. I think every year we should do a little Jesse Butler update so people don't forget his name.
A list.
Yeah, a little, hey, let's remember Jesse. Hey, Jesse, in case you thought people forgot about you. We're going to do this till I'm dead every year. The Jesse Butler update. I think that'd be great.
And we can
still in mom's basement.
And we'll keep it even more positive. We'll remember the victims every year and do even more for them.
I agree. I agree. All right. Until next time, for Robin, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
It's being called the Golden Bonanza Sweepstakes. Thanks to our friends at Mako, the DP Show, proud to be a part of this, giving listeners a chance to join us in San Francisco for Super Week. That's right, a trip for two, including round trip, coach airfare, three nights, hotel stay, ground transportation, and VIP access to see us do our show. If that's not enough, Mako also giving away 5 free paint jobs and 10 Mako and DP Show swag bags as runner-up prizes. It's really simple to enter. You go to danpatrick.com. The best news, you can enter daily for a chance to win. You can also receive a 25% off coupon to use at any Mako shop. Visit any Mako location now for a free estimate and redeem the coupon. Terms and conditions apply. Remember, go to danpatrick.com for official rules. No purchase necessary. Void in Alaska, Hawaii, and where prohibited. Open to contiguous U.S. D.C. residents 18 or over. Ends 11/23/25.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's being called the Golden Bonanza Sweepstakes. Thanks to our friends at Mako, the DP Show, proud to be a part of this, giving listeners a chance to join us in San Francisco for Super Week. That's right, a trip for two, including round trip, coach airfare, three nights, hotel stay, ground transportation, and VIP access to see us do our show. If that's not enough, Mako also giving away 5 free paint jobs and 10 Mako and DP Show swag bags as runner-up prizes. It's really simple to enter. You go to danpatrick.com. The best news, you can enter daily for a chance to win. You can also receive a 25% off coupon to use at any Mako shop. Visit any Mako location now for a free estimate and redeem the coupon. Terms and conditions apply. Remember, go to danpatrick.com for official rules. No purchase necessary. Void in Alaska, Hawaii, and where prohibited. Open to contiguous U.S. D.C. residents 18 or over. Ends 11/23/25.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's being called the Golden Bonanza Sweepstakes. Thanks to our friends at Mako, the DP Show, proud to be a part of this, giving listeners a chance to join us in San Francisco for Super Week. That's right, a trip for two, including round trip, coach airfare, three nights, hotel stay, ground transportation, and VIP access to see us do our show. If that's not enough, Mako also giving away 5 free paint jobs and 10 Mako and DP Show swag bags as runner-up prizes. It's really simple. simple to enter. You go to danpatrick.com. The best news? You can enter daily for a chance to win. You can also receive a 25% off coupon to use at any Maaco shop. Visit any Maaco location now for a free estimate and redeem the coupon. Terms and conditions apply. Remember, go to danpatrick.com for official rules. No purchase necessary. Void in Alaska, Hawaii, and where prohibited. Open to contiguous U.S. D.C. residents 18 or over. Ends 11/23/25.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's being called the Golden Bonanza Sweepstakes. Thanks to our friends at Maaco, the DP Show, proud to be a part of this, giving listeners a chance to join us in San Francisco for Super Week. That's right, a trip for two, including round trip, coach airfare, three nights, hotel stay, ground transportation, and VIP access to see us do our show. If that's not enough, Maaco also giving away 5 free paint jobs and 10 Maaco and DP Show swag bags as runner-up prizes. It's really simple to enter. You go to danpatrick.com. The best news? You can enter daily for a chance to win. You can also receive a 25% off coupon to use at any Maaco shop. Visit any Maaco location now for a free estimate and redeem the coupon. Terms and conditions apply. Remember, go to danpatrick.com for official rules. No purchase necessary. Void in Alaska, Hawaii, and where prohibited. Open to contiguous U.S. D.C. residents 18 or over. Ends 11/23/25.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's being called the Golden Bonanza Sweepstakes. Thanks to our friends at Maaco, the DP Show, proud to be a part of this, giving listeners a chance to join us in San Francisco for Super Week. That's right, a trip for two, including round trip, coach airfare, three nights, hotel stay, ground transportation, and VIP access to see us do our show. If that's not enough, Maaco also giving away 5 free paint jobs and 10 Maaco and DP Show swag bags as runner-up prizes. It's really simple to enter. You go to danpatrick.com. The best news? You can enter daily for a chance to win. You can also receive a 25% off coupon to use at any Maaco shop. Visit any Maaco location now for a free estimate and redeem the coupon. Terms and conditions apply. Remember, go to danpatrick.com for official rules. No purchase necessary. Void in Alaska, Hawaii, and where prohibited. Open to contiguous U.S. D.C. residents 18 or over. Ends 11/23/25.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's being called the Golden Bonanza Sweepstakes. Thanks to our friends at Maaco, the DP Show, proud to be a part of this, giving listeners a chance to join us in San Francisco for Super Week. That's right, a trip for two, including round trip, coach airfare, three nights, hotel stay, ground transportation, and VIP access to see us do our show. If that's not enough, Maaco also giving away 5 free paint jobs and 10 Maaco and DP Show swag bags as runner-up prizes. It's really simple to enter. You go to danpatrick.com. The best news? You can enter daily for a chance to win. You can also receive a 25% off coupon to use at any Maaco shop. Visit any Maaco location now for a free estimate and redeem the coupon. Terms and conditions apply. Remember, go to danpatrick.com for official rules. No purchase necessary. Void in Alaska, Hawaii, and where prohibited. Open to contiguous U.S. D.C. residents 18 or over. Ends 11/23/25.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio. Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.